Warning! The following podcast is chock full of spoilers. Don't say we didn't warn you.
Ah, snap. Just like that, Marvel's Endgame wraps up 11 years of movie storytelling with a janky time travel plotline and a fumbling farewell to some of the biggest comic book superheroes of all time.
The movie tries to shake things up by presenting us with Iron Man as Iron Family Man, Hawkeye as an out-of-control vigilante, a totally groovy Professor Hulk who's now cool with his dual identities, a despondent but thick and juicy Thor, and a Captain America who has a patriotic affinity for his own derriere.
Salute America's ass! Today, pop culture crank Brian Sweeney joins us to take a look at Endgame, the final wrap-up of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and what the future holds for superhero blockbuster films.
Plus, Feast of Fun did it first. Google creates a Thanos-inspired Easter egg that allows you to snap away half the internet out of existence.
Is Robert Downey Jr. bisexual or not? And how much of his own personal life mirrors Iron Man's?
And the long-awaited sequel to 50 Shades of Halloween, Brian Sweeney and Mark Billion's homoerotic slash fiction tribute to the TV series Supernatural.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Endgame has come and gone. And if you haven't watched the movie yet, don't listen to this podcast because it's all a discussion about spoilers. The Marvel Cinematic Universe has wrapped it all up. This is about a decade, right? And joining us today is Brian Sweeney, who is a comedian here in Chicago, but is also probably the person who knows the most about these comic book characters than anybody else.
That's a good description of Brian.
Yay.
But also, because he knows so much information, his brain is twisted and warped into an...
Does that make him evil if he's
Leviathan
smart and knows much?
That's more my soul. If my soul or heart is twisted.
Your brain is kind of like Thanos' glove, that if you actually harness, it actually harms the person who's using it.
Yes. That's what it is.
So in the last discussion that we had with Brian about Endgame, we got into a conversation about how the internet is harmful, and Brian suggested that it would be probably a good idea if we could get rid of half of the websites on the internet.
Well, I just said that the internet is very bad, which it is, mm-hmm. and like study after study has shown that, and it's terrible for everyone and their mental health and everything, and war and whatever. But no, all I said was that it needs regulation. It needs a lot of regulation and
to find balance.
That's not yes. All right. Yes. Okay. We can shove this square peg in this round hole.
That we got into this conversation about the internet as sort of this malignant force.
Malignant
force. And I compared Brian Sweeney to Thanos, that if he had this glove, he probably would want to snap half of the internet away. And then about a week later, Google paying tribute to Endgame
to Brian.
Oh, so did you think about the idea or did you not? Okay. And Google made it so you could snap half of the internet out of existence.
So what would happen? They had this little icon with the glove, the Thanos glove, the gauntlet.
Yes.
And if you pressed on it, then these it would take you to like Google search page, and then all of a sudden like these pages that were on the Google search would just kind of like disappear before
evaporate, just like Spider-Man. Mr. Sweeney, I don't feel so good. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh no, the internet's evaporating.
Oh no, Grindr's gone. Where am I going to find sex?
Scruff.
Oh, great. Okay, thanks. And so I posted this on social media, and people are like, that never happened. You guys never had that conversation. And I'm like, did I imagine this? Did this really happen? Maybe Thanos is playing with my head, too.
Probably. So
I don't even know what's real anymore. I feel like I'm being gaslighted by the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, don't say that, Steven. That's your name. You know that that's your name, right?
Oh,
Steven James Hippocamus?
No. Is it Feast of Fools or Feast of Fun?
What are you talking about? You're on Fresh Air with Terry Gross. Me, Terry Gross. Hello.
You look a lot different than I thought you would look like in real life.
Huh. What is life? Is that how you pronounce it? It's pronounced vuvu.
Vuvula.
What has happened to you? Are you okay?
So the Marvel Universe is wrapped up kind of really, but with a movie called Endgame, which Red Letter Media points out is the same title of the final episode of Star Trek Voyager, which makes me so happy. We can talk about Star Trek Voyager with Brian, who hates that series.
I don't. All right. Let me be clear, because this also has to be made clear, because Star Trek Voyager or Marvel Cinematic Universe or any of these things, these are things that I love, but I can recognize faults while still enjoying them.
So you like Voyager?
I like it in the sense that it's Star Trek. Like, I love anything Star Trek, and I would rather like Star Trek than most things. But with that love comes, the reason I love it is because of the high quality. So when it does things that doesn't, that is like, they're not doing their, they're not going to their full potential, or it's like, come on, you're better than this. That's when it hurts more. Like, it's not like I'm,
it's
just
a betrayal.
When you watch like garbage, like reality shows or something, like you're not like, wow, this will probably like give me some great moral like lessons and themes about how to be a human. Like, you just watch it for fun and then it's over. It's like eating potato chips or whatever. You're not there for sustenance or like a meal. And that's not how I take in these certain things. So, like, Supernatural, I have real problems with, like, season 7 and various, like, arcs of storylines and stuff. But that doesn't take away from, like, the fact that I love Supernatural, like, with all of my being.
But of all the Star Trek series, it seems to be, like, the Voyager is the one you dislike the most.
No, Discovery is far worse than Voyager.
Season one. I like season two, actually. I'm like, oh my God, this is like something new.
I haven't seen season two.
So at the center of the cinematic universe, time travel is a major plot point. And Brian,
In what? In Marvel Universe?
In the Endgame.
Oh, in Endgame.
Right? Okay. In the wrapping up of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, time travel becomes a plot device in which they sort of undo the damage that was caused by Thanos when he snapped out of existence half of all life in the universe. I guess so they're trying to find the Infinity Stones and create their own gauntlet, so they'd be like, this never happened.
So they have to travel through time, the quantum realm, in order to get the Infinity Stones, which Thanos had destroyed, so they're going to go back in time, grab them, and then eventually return them back to time.
And this is very jumping
much,
ahead.
This is very much like Voyager's Endgame episode, where Janeway travels in time to undo the damage that was done by the Borg.
Was it also called Endgame?
It was also called Endgame.
Oh!
That's why we get to talk about Voyager, Star Trek Voyager with Brian, which is really awesome. Now,
but it also had all good things. There was like sprinkles of all good things in it.
Now, the thing
Star
I
Trek
like,
The Next Generation series finale, you're both looking at me blankly. The all good things where Picard is going back and forth, forward and backward in time.
Right. Now, the thing I like most about time travel in sci-fi, especially when it features very attractive, hunky actors.
Like Somewhere in Time?
I don't know about
with
that.
With Chris Reeves?
With Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour, filmed on Mackinac Island.
The thing I like most about time travel with hunky actors is that you finally get to have the hunky actor admire how attractive they are when they see their gorgeousness as they travel back in time, as Captain America gets the look on his ass and say, yes, indeed, that is America's ass.
Okay, wait, you said that's your favorite.
That was my favorite scene of the whole movie.
Your favorite thing about time travel is that when this happens, like, this is a normal thing that's happened in so many, like, whenever people time travel, they stop and look at themselves and they're like, I would fuck myself and leave. like so you're talking about one specific scene in this movie, but you were like, the
it
thing that I love
like
about time
happens.
Travel is hunky people looking at themselves, which is like such a gay man thing. Just be like,
it
man,
just
I
seems,
would fuck
it just
myself.
Seems like it happens a lot more than it should. But
name one other time.
But it seems like, you know, if you were to travel and admit this, Brian, if you were to travel back in time and you saw yourself at the prime of your life, you'd be like, yeah, I got it. Yeah, baby.
I guess I don't have that gay male narcissism.
Now he doesn't.
When have I had that? When have I been the arrogant, like, man, I'm good looking? I think what I would do is the way that we time travel, like, as people, is we like look back at pictures of ourselves from 5 or 10 years ago, and we all
a survivor,
and we
a contender. Traveling in time is lament. that people say, I wish I could have done something differently.
Well, what we do when we look at pictures or videos of ourselves when from 10 years ago or high school or whatever, we say, oh, man, like, look how handsome I was, or like, look how thin I was. And people are always like, you know, I thought I was ugly then, mm-hmm. or like, I thought I was fat.
They always do that, yeah.
And it's like, and right now is when I'm really ugly. And then 5 years from then, it's like, man, I thought I was ugly back then. I wish I could go back to then. Which is also the thing of when a lot of people are asked, like, what would you tell your younger self? They always say, almost everyone always says, just relax and like enjoy what's going on. But no one takes that advice right now when we're just living it.
Everybody take the advice. In 10 years, you're going to be uglier than you are now. So think of yourself as beautiful.
I know quite a few people who have filmed themselves with VHS cameras masturbating so they could have their own porn in the future.
That is Jesus Christ. You have just everything you say is like,
I didn't do it, but I do know that that is a reality. At Roseanne Barr said one time in an interview, just like, if I could travel back in time, I would have sex with my younger
son. Oh my God.
Roseanne Barr is a sick pig.
Yeah. I like the extremely balanced mental health. Roseanne Barr, as you talk about all like the narcissism of like time travel, looking back and being like, man, fuck me.
Look at my ass.
Oh, fuck me.
But it is an interesting thing. Like, you know, this idea that when you're traveling the time, you're always inevitably the character starts interacting with themselves. And even like that fight with Captain America, I know there's a lot of people out there that were like, yeah, this is really hot. You know, Captain America choking Captain America.
This is always like, why do you guys invite me here to talk about movies? Because all it is like, wasn't it hot when Chris Evans did this? And it's like,
well, as a straight man, how did you like that scene where they fought with each other and he talked about his ass?
Oh, I just got a fucking boner and just started jacking off in the middle of the theater because I can't view things as stories. It's all about how could I put my dick inside of anything that I'm looking at. That's how I view things and enjoy it. The same way when Fausto said about Man of Steel, well, I liked it because it had what I always wanted, a hot Superman with his shirt off. That was his review of why he liked Man of Steel.
And was that not a good review?
Not for me. I mean, it's not because I'm like, ew,
I'm sorry
gross,
to disappoint
but
you,
it's
Brian.
Like, why would I watch a 2.5 hour movie to see like a dude with his shirt off?
Because it's Henry Cavill.
Yeah, but I could just look at the internet. Like, if that's what you want, like, why bother going to anything? Like, why look at it's
because I guess that you're asking the question, why do they put storylines into pornography?
They don't anymore.
A lot of porn still has it, yeah.
Barely. But now it's been, like, that kind of thing has been destroyed. That's sort of like how it used to be, like, when you, for us normal straight people, the right way.
Normal.
Yes, the ones that are getting into heaven. we used to have to be like, ooh, like, this lady takes her top off in this movie. So we'd have to, like, sit through, like, 90 minutes of some shit and then, like, a quick second of boobs. And, like, but you don't have to do that anymore. Because, like, the internet, one of the things it destroyed was celebrity nudity also. But
well,
now we can...
did you ever get aroused by Kim Basinger in the film 9.5 Weeks when she was covered in mayonnaise by Mickey O'Rourke pre-plastic surgery?
I've seen like the scene. I don't think I've ever like, I've seen parts of it, but like
back to Endgame.
Oh,
anyways,
okay.
With Endgame, we also treated to Captain America as the moderating a trauma survivor support group for people who survived Thanos' snap.
It's not really made clear whether or not he is actually running that. Or if he is just sort of like part of it. Like,
listen, Captain America is going to be stepping up.
You would think that, but like, but he wasn't in charge in the Winter Soldier when he went to one. It was Sam. It was the Falcon who was running the PTSD one that he was sort of just sticking his head into and looking. And so Captain America, like it doesn't necessarily mean. I wish that they were more clear about that. If this is how he is really helped, because he does say, like, I keep telling people, like, move on and live your life. Maybe people do, but not us. So that's a weird, like, sort of problem when it's like 5 years later, what are our heroes doing? And then they show them, but they're not clear. Like, is this what Captain America is doing? Is this sort of how he's trying to make up for the fact that he couldn't stop this?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a whole ton of problems about the five. There's a whole ton of problems about this movie. But the 5 years later is a gigantic problem.
Well, why did they do the 5 years later? It's because they just wanted to have like a separation. They wanted to show people suffering. They wanted to.
They
show...
didn't though. Really?
Well, yeah,
that's a problem.
Really. And I think they wanted to, you know, that kind of like that, you know, when Ant-Man came back after 5 years, to be like, oh my God, look, a long time has passed and things have changed.
But nothing really matters because my daughter's fine. Mm. Like that's a big problem too.
She's just bleeding now.
Yeah, she had her period, and I missed it. But that's what he said.
The trauma survivors support group, the reason I bring it up is that the first time we actually a same-sex couple or the survivor of a same-sex couple talking about the loss of his partner.
Played by one of the directors.
That's right.
Played by a straight man. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I step on? Were you going to reveal?
No.
I thought you were like, I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
No, I'm just looking at you. I was like, that's really great.
Yeah, I mean, a guy said, I went on a date with a man and I cried, but we're going to go again. And then they're like, all right, moving on.
Yeah.
But, you know, in that support group, there was I also read that one of the creators of Thanos,
Jim Starlin,
was also in that group as well. Yeah. So it was a little moment for them to pay tribute to a lot of the people who created that, universe of comic book characters to bring to life. And I guess this is the last time we'll see Stan Lee making a cameo in one of the films too.
It would have been a lot better if this guy from 1945 is just sitting there and he's like, I went on a date and I started crying. They should have like shown Cap with like a horrified look on his face. I'm like, that's fine. Like, he's been living in this world for a while, but it's still fucked up to me. In the same way, when Nick Fury started giving me orders, I got very upset. And one time, Sam tried to use the same drinking fountain as me. It's not okay. I mean, the fact that Black Widow and I are on equal footing, come on, guys. I mean, let's talk. Let's talk,
so you're
turkey.
Saying that in real life, Captain America would be racist and sexist still. And be struggling.
I can't imagine a guy in 1945 that wakes up in 2011, then sees like Samuel Jackson and all this like shit, and then like dudes getting married. Was it in 2011? Was it
legal? Legal then? No.
So he gets out of the ice and like in about a year or so, like he looks
like
at who
woke.
He looks at the president like, what is this? Wait, what that was what? What? And then they're like, also, two dudes are going to get married now, as the Supreme Court said. And he's like, what? What's
well,
going on?
Well, you know, maybe beyond
this is
just
a lot.
His superpowers, maybe he has some super mental abilities so he can accept things.
Compassion is one of his
strengths.
But he
can't accept things. That's one of the big things about Captain America. When he sees something that he doesn't think is correct, he won't stop.
He's determined.
Yeah,
he's righteous.
He knows Peggy Carter, not Peggy, Sharon Carter, Peggy's niece, who he made out with, said in Civil War, when she gave the eulogy to her aunt, she said, like, when everyone's telling you no, like, you have to stand up, even if the entire world's saying it, you have to be the one to stand up and say no, like, this isn't right. And it makes him, that's what, like, yeah. This movie's a mess. That's a big...
Endgame is a mess?
The Endgame is one of the biggest... It's crazy how messy this movie is, and not in like, well, of course it's messy. It's got all these characters in a way that it feels... What I said was, it's amazing how this movie, that's a culmination of 11 years of this, feels... So much of it feels like it was thrown together at the last minute. And it is wild to me that that's what.
And is time travel, is it a cop out? Is it a cheat?
Yes, but no. Yes and no. So like.
Oh, it's that duality of time travel. It is
a paradox.
A cop out and it isn't a cop out.
Well, first of all, like.
And I can have sex with myself.
Everything is a cop out when you're like, you can say anything is
and
a cop out because when you're making stuff up, like that's the thing that seems to be like lost on a lot of people. It's like when people like when everything is made up, like you can do anything that you want to do, like you can create these things. But the problem
is fiction.
But the problem is you have to set rules. And then it's like in this world, a man got bit by a spider and then he climbs around on a spider and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. We accept that. But if then all of a sudden Peter Parker does something out of character for who he is, and they don't give us a reason why this is happening, that's when we're like, wait, why would he do that? And then some people are like, you're trying to figure out why people do stuff in a movie about a guy who climbs like a spider. And it's like, yeah, because they give us goddamn rules. Like,
you want motivation.
What's we the understand motivation? Like what the One Ring can do in Lord of the Rings. Like, we understand why they have to go to Mount Doom and throw it in, and like what happened to Gollum and all of these things. So like, but like the rules are set, and when they make sense, we're fine and we're happy and they stick.
And time travel just throws all the window rules out the window.
Well, with time travel, you get to make your own rules, because if time travel exists, it hasn't been proven and it hasn't been a thing that, like, all there is just theoretical time travel. So you're allowed to say whatever you want in the same way, like, if I get sucked into a black hole, what happens is I get thrown into another universe where it's Alice mm-hmm. in Wonderland. Like, you're allowed to make that up because no one knows what would theoretically happen, aside from like a person would get torn apart. You'd be like, but you can't say that when they get torn apart, they're actually just thrown. So like, you're allowed to make all these theoretical physics type of things, even if they don't make sense. So you can set down those rules. So the rules of Back to the Future are, there's one timeline, and if you go back to that timeline and you screw things up, people will start getting erased mm-hmm. and it will screw up the future. But in what the Ancient One says in this is, well, and this is also a problem. I don't know. I put this, I
ancient
sent this
one's
to you.
One who controls the time,
Tilda
time
Swinton.
Device.
Yeah. She has the time stone, the Eye of Akamado. What just happened last night is the writers of this movie, Christopher Marcus and Christopher McFeely, I believe the name is, have a different interpretation of what the time travel rules are than the directors of this movie. The directors have been giving a bunch of interviews stating what happened. When Cap goes back, that's going to be a separate universe that splits off now.
Because for some people that don't understand, so when he goes back to return a time, one of the stones back into the past, he decides to stay.
Yeah, and so the Russo brothers, who are the directors, said what happened was, that means that there's an alternate reality that he's creating. Mm-hmm. What the writers have, and they've been saying that for a week now, mm-hmm. week and a half, 2 weeks. I guess it's only been a week. It feels weird. It feels like Endgame has always been, because it's just such an important monument, landmark film.
It screws with your time.
Yes. And and so what these writers are saying is, no, that's only if the Infinity Stones weren't returned. Now, everything is fine in this timeline, and it's the same timeline. So there's two Captain Americas happening so that Captain America always there.
They had planned it all along.
They didn't.
Because Captain America had, I guess, a relationship, not with her. It wasn't her, his girlfriend's granddaughter, but his niece. And so they were saying that the reason that that created that character as her niece and not her great granddaughter was to create the possibility for him to travel back in time and insert himself quietly and live out the rest
of his
life.
And he wouldn't be
Steve
dating
Rogers.
His own daughter in the
but
future.
But
exactly.
That's not why. Yeah. She's her niece in the comic books. Like, okay. It's not like they created this character. They can.
So they were very strict to what the character's relationships were.
So no, they weren't. And that's one of the big problems.
So yes or no?
And so no, I don't believe that.
So they were not strict with them.
This is part of the messy
character.
No, they didn't create the
duality.
Character.
I can't even get
what I'm saying
straight.
Is the character of Sharon Carter being Peggy Carter's niece exists in the comic books. That has existed decades before anyone made a movie.
So that was something
of.
That they stayed very loyal to. You said no.
No, you said that they. Why you said that they made her a niece instead of a granddaughter? They didn't do that.
So that was not in order to allow Steve Rogers to go back in time and sort of live out his life peacefully.
If they honestly had a plan, they wouldn't have a scene where they make out in front of a car, like in front of the Winter Soldier and Falcon. That happens in Civil War. They did not have a plan for this. In the same way, here's what happens. Why this happened. Mm-hmm. The writers of this movie created the Agent Carter TV show. In the Agent Carter TV show, Hayley Atwell, who plays Peggy Carter, has given a lot of interviews, and she has romantic interests in the show that isn't Steve Rogers, and she moves on and does get married, but she talks about how she's over Steve, like she's over that grief and things like that. And they were making it so that Steve was going to be over because in the comic books, he does have a relationship with Sharon Carter, not Peggy, and her niece, Sharon. And so, but they created that Agent Carter. They also co-wrote Thor: The Dark World. So what this movie is the writers going back over their greatest hits. Like, that's why Thor: The Dark World and Agent Carter is such a big part of this movie. And it's because that's the movies that these two wrote. So what they're doing is like a meta thing of them going back and sort of fixing what they didn't like about those movies. But that is a last second addition.
So also with this time travel too, is so when they go back and try and get the Tesseract, which contains which of the stones is inside the Tesseract, Loki ends
the
up
power
taking
stone,
it.
Right?
Loki ends up taking it. And then he
Power just, Stone is the Guardians of the Galaxy.
And so then he
what's the blue one?
I believe it's the Space Stone.
Space Stone.
And so he disappears with it, right?
Yes.
What happens to him?
Well, we're gonna have to find out we're gonna have to all sign up to Disney Plus.
Why?
Because there's going to be a Loki TV show starring Tom Hiddleston.
Really? So he survives?
I mean, I don't know. See,
he was
this
murdered.
Is the fucking
yeah,
problem.
Know.
It depends on who you're thinking about. Who is the right one? The directors of this movie or the writers of this movie? Because if what they're saying is true, it doesn't make any fucking sense. Because Loki now...
Do you want to slap my face as proxy for the anger that you're feeling?
Well, I want to slap your face in like a sexual thing. I thought we could also get into some spit play. I kind of want you to be my dog.
You're
but
so angry
that's
about
come later.
This.
That'll come later, Brian.
Brian. Okay, so...
well, I have actual,
what
like...
What to get angry
things.
About... So, hold on a second. What they to get angry about is the way that Thor, I guess, and, you know, he has a breakdown, and he becomes a thick and juicy Thor.
Yeah, he's fat.
And so all these people...
He's fat and he's an alcoholic.
They're saying that they're body shaming him.
Whatever. That's great. All right, yeah. The internet's going to fucking say everything. What, like, yes, of
and
course.
And I thought this was a really great use of, actually, of Chris Hemsworth's comedic abilities, because when he was initially cast in the role, I don't know the you know studios were aware of his talent to that. And I think sort of having be this sort of the Big Lebowski character... in this Endgame film, and I think it was really fun to watch.
The moment that you, that Chris Hemsworth, you could tell that, oh shit, like this guy's got other stuff, is mm-hmm. in the first Avengers movie when he says, he's my brother, and they're like, your brother just caused the deaths of whatever thousand, and he goes, he was adopted. And it's a very, like, perfect timing. And then in Age of Ultron, Whedon gave him, like, more funny stuff. And because, like, and, like, Thor the Dark World had more of, like, Thor having fun and being funny. Mm-hmm. But then Age of Ultron, like, was able to, like, write, like, they figured out, like, oh, shit, Chris Hemsworth, he's kind of a secret weapon. Like, he can do stuff. He can be really funny. And they sort of then, like, really leaned into that, obviously, with Thor Ragnarok.
Mm.
And since then, so the Thor Ragnarok Thor... came to the Infinity War and obviously to this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like him becoming fat and an alcoholic, and he can't even hear the name Thanos. Like, we don't say that. And he disassociates, like he mm-hmm. stops. And when the word Thanos is, and you're like, oh shit, he's mad, but he's not mad. He's disassociating. He's going away because he has to mm-hmm. get away from that's the one thing that brings back everything. So like he just sort of stops and like he doesn't even like move. And it's a really like cool it's a really cool scene when like you realize like because you think like uh-oh like Thor's gonna he's gonna do the normal thing where it's like don't you ever say that word, but he doesn't. Yeah. He's just like I'm out. Like his brain just goes away and he goes into the shock.
Well, his world was destroyed, you know, pre-Thanos, but then half of his people were also destroyed by Thanos. So he's really going through the changes, you know.
Well, yeah, and there's a great moment in Infinity War when he first meets the Guardians of the Galaxy, and they say Gamora's on the ship, and Thor's, and they say something about Thanos, and. I forget which one, if it was Mantis or Drax, is like, this is Thanos' daughter. And he's like, your father killed, all my people, blah, blah. And then she goes, and then it's like, it's a swelling music. And mm-hmm. he's like, and then he says, I had to kill my sister. And he's like, first you tore my eyeball out, and then blah, blah, blah. And he's like, families are tough. Oh, and then he talks about, like, his brother and, like, all these things. But that's, like, that is also, like, a wonderful theme that runs through almost all fiction and, like, stories is families are tough. Mm. And also, when you boil that down, it's more being a human being. And I know that this is like spacemen and gods, but these are stories to tell us about, just like the tortoise and the hare. Like, these are stories so that we can learn things about life. We don't realize it because it's sort of medicine with the sugar, but these are the ways that these stories are told, why fiction is told in the best way, is so that we can learn lessons on how to do things in ways that we normally wouldn't think about. And so people,
what is it that you're learning from Endgame?
Well, here's a big problem. Okay. And also, I'm a writer, and I love this craft of narrative fiction, and I love looking at TV and movies and stuff, and I like to do, like, sort of an intellectual, like, brain game and be like, how could I make it better? Like, how could I, just to myself, like, I like to think of, like, what if this happened? And what, because I feel like that's an important thing that, to, like, someone who wants to, like, write stories and shit, mm-hmm. is, and also understand stories and structure and, like, how this goes about. But the theme of this movie is, and they destroy it at a certain part, but the theme of this movie in the beginning is making peace with your past. And the mistakes and the problems and the things that you've held on to for so long and you think that you will never be able to get by. And they show this literally with Tony talking to his father and him saying exactly, you know, I always thought my dad was hard on me, but actually now I have a kid and I can just tell he was just trying to do his best. And so Tony's able to let go of that, those huge daddy issues that he's always had. Thor is able to speak to his mother. And his mother gets to tell him, no, man, like, actually, you're worthy. You are okay. Mm-hmm. And then the hammer goes to him, and he realizes, I am worthy. So that's, like, a literal showing.
What I really like to see Thor, though, was when he was in his traditional Norwegian men's sweater. I'm looking for one. They're very hard to find, and they're very expensive. If anybody has a lead on one, I'm happy to buy one. They last for years, you know?
Put out the feelers.
You know, put the feelers.
Anybody for Norgay, yeah. Friends.
Anybody? Men's Norwegian sweater.
But it seems like the point Brian's trying to make is that Endgame is the conclusion of a lot of the tortured soul storylines of many of these superhero characters. Like, you know, Hulk becomes Professor Hulk. Thor becomes thick and juicy Thor. And Captain America becomes laid Captain America. Like, he finally gets the love of his life, which, not according to the internet, is him making out with Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr.
But that's your internet.
Listen,
that's for the 1 or 3%.
I texted it to you. It's like, those are things that are not being made by me. I'm just
no, I know, but I'm saying it's the internet that you frequent. It's not like
called.
It's not the mainstream, but yes, he wanted to fuck Iron Man. That is normal, obviously.
I mean,
I thought he wanted to fuck Bucky.
He's Captain America. He's got Vita Rays inside of him. He's always horny.
He's got Vita Rays?
He's got America's ass, you know? So Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man. I forgot that Robert Downey Jr., to promote this film years and years and years and years ago, Home for the Holidays, that was directed by Jodie Foster, he plays a gay character in it. He came out as bisexual. And then subsequently, many years later, he's been like dancing.
Subsequently. You have very fun ways of.
Because I'm bilingual. Isn't that interesting?
Ooh, just like Robert.
And he's sort of been dancing around this idea that he may have toyed with bisexuality in his youth, but, you know, he's all man now. And to me, I was just like, Mark, you were saying that Robert Downey Jr. is probably in a non-disclose clause in a contract?
Well, you know, sometimes they make those actors, you know, say you can't come out of the closet for different things. Like, I don't think that they're the same as now, but certainly, you know, we heard that Jack from Will and Grace had to sign one in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And that lasted all the way until like that show was in syndication. So I wouldn't be surprised if some people are like, do sign contracts and say, you can't come out of the closet, because it will cost ticket sales.
Stay married to the wife and mother of your children that you've been married to for mm-hmm. decades. You know. And don't come out like we know you're going to, because you are gay. Well,
part of it is he said in past interviews that in his youth, you know, in the drug culture that he was in, he struggled a lot with famously with drugs and rehabilitation, because his father had him smoking pot at a young age. And throughout his career, he's actually struggled getting cast in major motion pictures because of the fact that he's kind of been a big mess.
Yeah, it's in The Simpsons, the famous yeah. Simpsons episode.
And he only was able to get back into films because Mel Gibson, of all people, covered the costs of insuring him for a film work. And, you know, if it wasn't for Mel Gibson, actually, we probably wouldn't have.
God bless Mel Robert Gibson and Downey all the good Jr. things he does in this world.
Well, Robert Downey Jr. would not have been cast as Iron Man. They would not, you know, and Iron Man, the character, is really very much a reflection of the maturation of Robert Downey Jr. And his sort of playboy image, the sort of rebellious image, is a lot to do, the way that character is written, as much to do with Robert Downey Jr.
Well, Jon Favreau, who directed the first Iron Man, had to really fight for Robert Downey Jr. The studio kept saying no.
But how can you? I mean, it's so hard to imagine Iron Man as not Robert Downey Jr. at this point.
Yeah, but we said the exact same thing about the Joker. When they were going to remake the Joker, and we said Jack Nicholson will always be the Joker.
Did we?
Sure.
Yes, we did. That's exactly what we said.
I mean,
it's just what people say about everything. Mm-hmm. Like, Keaton is always Batman, all these things. Adam West is Batman, like all these things.
The point I'm bringing that up is that Robert Downey Jr. sort of making this commentary on Captain America, you know, Iron Man commenting on Captain America's ass. And sort of toying was like, oh, that suit does nothing for your butt, you know? And then
that's how he said it.
Well, it is interesting that the internet is, you know, very obsessed with these pairings, this slash fiction, you know, Kirk Spock. One of my favorites is certainly Hulk and the Thing. Mm-hmm. And Captain America and Iron Man. And so it was interesting to see them sort of give a little crumb to people who sort of fantasize about these two characters.
I like Hulk and Godzilla. Those are my favorite. That's my favorite.
I like that gif of Hulk fucking Black Widow, just as he grabs her and just shoves his giant green wiener into her.
Oh,
I'll send it to you.
And that's how she could have died. She got a soul stone, right?
Everyone likes it. He's got a big, thick cock. Mm-hmm. Big, thick gamma cock.
What about Brie Larson as Captain Marvel, sort of sporting this very, you know, butch haircut, which I guess it's what the comic book character is sporting now.
Okay.
So
it's very dykey.
It's very dykey. And she, you know, I thought that she would be a much more important character in this final film.
Yeah,
and she just kind of goes off into space and then comes back at the last
minute. There's absolutely no reason for her.
Except to save Tony, right?
And to look very butch.
Neither of those. Okay, yes, she's a lesbian. Everyone's gay in this movie. We can all agree.
Okay. Well, that's what people are saying, that Captain Marvel is in her debut film, they portrayed her as sort of having this romantic affair with the other military lady.
With her best friend that she hadn't seen in 20 years? Yes.
That's what people are saying.
It's very gay. It's very gay.
Listen, don't argue with me. I'm just reporting it back to you, and you're like, no, internet, no.
Well, because it's ridiculous. Yes, Kirk and Spock had sex. They all had sex. They're fictional characters.
So you're saying that you are comfortable and you think that it's likely that we'll see Captain Marvel in a romantic relationship with another man in a future movie?
No.
I don't see it happening.
Okay.
Not with that haircut.
No.
No, honey.
That says
I eat pussy. Yeah. And I eat it really well because I've been supercharged by the Tesseract.
The reason why Captain Marvel's in the movie at all is another thing that's just thrown just together for no apparent reason. But there's two reasons. One, this is the first time that it seems that Marvel has had to play catch up with DC, the DC films. It's because Wonder Woman came out, and it was very glaring that Marvel had never had a female-led movie. And that was, they made, and obviously it was a big deal when Wonder Woman came out. And then, but the, I feel like probably the bigger, even though the internet, we're all extremely online and we all believe that giant corporations give a shit about things like this, but they really don't, of like feminists and like they want to make sure that like all the woke people are happy. That's not true. They're just capitalist monsters. But so the big thing is the Shazam movie was coming out in DC. Shazam, the superhero, yeah, the superhero is Captain Marvel. That's his name. He says Shazam and he turns into Captain Marvel. So with that bearing down on them, Marvel had to throw together, which, by the way, is admitted. They admitted when they filmed the scenes with Captain Marvel in Endgame, there was no script for the Captain Marvel movie. They threw this movie together, which also shows why the movie doesn't feel like an actual like story. Like it feels like a bunch of like things just thrown together.
You're saying that the Endgame film was created before the Captain Marvel?
Yeah, they shot it all at once. They shot Infinity War and Endgame all at once. Shot before Black Panther came out.
So Brie Larson, when she's in these scenes, she has no idea what she's supposed to do.
No, and she has no idea, and they give her they even said like they give her the lines like before she comes on, just like in the after credit scene of Captain Marvel, where she comes in and says, "Where's Fury?" She filmed that on a green screen, looking up at like tape, and they couldn't tell her who was Fury, or they couldn't tell her where Fury was, why she was asking this question, mm-hmm. and that was before she did before they had a script of Captain Marvel, which shows like, and they said like, you know, we've been working on this for a long time. It's just bullshit. It's the same thing with like Endgame. Like you can tell, like there's so much that like, it doesn't matter. Like, mm-hmm. why did you do this? And there's no reason aside from it, why not? Or because it'll surprise the audience. Like, and biggest example I believe is the fuck did Hawkeye become Ronin? Why did he become a vigilante murderer? What was the point? Why was that? What was any?
Because his family was taken away from him, so then he became like, I will kill everyone.
And then what?
Well, part of it is.
And then what? What's the point?
To your question is a lot of these films are big financial enterprises, and
well, yes,
we are not necessarily the audience for them. They're also very much aimed to appeal to an Asian audience. And, you know, having Hawkeye become sort of this vigilante in Asia, it was just like a nod to their films and their culture. And so just to be like, oh, Hawkeye, very wonderful.
But Hawkeye is Ronin in the comics. So it's not like, again, it's not a thing that they just made up for this movie. It feels like,
including that in the movies feels out of place.
I understand, but you can do both. You can have him become Ronin, and then it's like, we're just supposed to pretend like that didn't happen. Like, there's so many things in this movie. All right. Here's a huge problem. The last time that Steve and Tony saw each other, mm-hmm. before the beginning of this movie, Tony found out that Steve Rogers' best friend murdered his parents. Then he finds out that Steve Rogers knew that. Then he beats the shit out of Steve Rogers. Then Steve says, I'm sorry, Tony. You know I wouldn't do this if I had any choice, but he's my friend. And Tony says, so is I. And then they beat the shit of each other. Then Cap and Winter Soldier take turns beating the living fuck out of Iron Man and throwing the shield back and forth while beating him. Captain America beats Tony so bad and breaks the arc reactor in his chest. Then it looked like he was going to kill him with his shield. But he gets up and walks away, and then Tony tells him to leave the shield because it doesn't belong to him. So he drops it, and he's no longer Captain America. So the big thing is, wow.
Time heals all wounds, doesn't it?
The big thing is, but again,
time travel.
But again, this is drama. So they are creating these things. So they are separating these characters, and they spend all of Infinity War away from each other on purpose, because we know for 3 years we've been like, holy shit, once Tony gives Steve the shield back, oh, that's the moment. So the next time that Steve and Tony see each other is the very beginning of Endgame, when Captain Marvel just finds them drifting and flies them back. That's amazing writing. Tony blames Steve personally for the death of half of the universe. He blames it all on Steve and says that if you had listened to him and you weren't such a fucking asshole, I had been telling you this. We could have stopped this. You said that we would lose together. Where were you? Then the next time they see each other, 5 years later, Steve just drives up. They sort of chat. Then, like a minute later, he drives up to the Avengers place, opens his trunk and takes the shield out and says, had to get this out of the garage. Steve just sort of smirks, move on. That's what this movie gave us. Like, that is...
There's no resolution to
this. But it's like, it's not just a revolution. It's just like...
Resolution.
What was the point then? Like, what was... Why would you spend so much time building and building into the moment where the two people were together and they had to come together and learn to trust each other? Because then, an hour later, they have a very quick scene in a New York alley where Tony just goes, do you trust me? And Steve goes, I do. And they shake hands. And it's like... Why did you put that scene there? Like, why would you spend so much time with Ant-Man dropping a taco instead of what people actually care about in these movies, which is Tony and Steve? Like, we love these characters. Like, why are you not giving them, like, what you're obviously, like, what you have built up? The reason why Civil War is so effective is because we love these characters. We don't like when they fight. And it just seems like, what was the point then? Like, what are we doing? The same thing with Captain Marvel. It's like, she's like, all right, well, I gotta go. Bye. And then she comes back, like, at the last second from nowhere, and then whatever. And it's like, all right, that's fine. But it's also like, why did you do this? And also, this is the big thing also is, like, this is the last time. Like, we want the Guardians and the Avengers to come together and, like, talk and, like, have the Guardians on Earth and, like, see the Avengers place and vice versa and whatever. And it's like, they gave us none of that. They spend, like, so much time doing other shit. And yes, sorry, Fausto.
20 minutes later.
You may speak on your show.
You're really passionate about this.
Yeah, I have so many.
And, like, you have a lot to say about it. Maybe writing a book might be a good thing to do, because we can't squeeze it all into one show. You know, these movies are not necessarily made for us. They're also made for people who are Trump supporters. They're made for people who live in rural America. And I'm curious to think about, like, how they perceive these films. What do they see that we're not seeing? How does Captain America speak to them and Iron Man as these sort of rebellious figures? Like, you know... What, you know, because certainly, like, there was a very famous Spider-Man Obama comic book. Do you guys remember that? I'm just curious to know, like, from their vantage point, what is exciting of this film? You know, and certainly, like, I think Civil War speaks to this idea of the conspiracy of the government, that the government itself is evil, that Hydra has infiltrated all the, you know, even though they are the Nazis, they're the fascists in
but
our
they
world.
They don't
identify as the fascists in these films.
They're not the bad guys.
Yeah.
They're the good guys. But yeah, of course, like, Trump supporters and Republicans and conservatives are way more conspiracy minded, and they believe that the government has been taken over by, like, homosexual cultural Marxists who literally murder babies. Like, Democrats get together and eat babies and fuck babies
pizza
and
parlors.
Stuff. And yeah, and it's like,
So when these films don't make any sense, you know, I always remind people, just like, you're not somebody in China, you're not a Trump supporter, and these films also have to speak to them, and they have to go to the movie and enjoy themselves and leave feeling better about themselves and their lives, or get something out of it in order for them to make all this crazy money. And so that, to me, is the most fascinating thing about these blockbuster superhero action films, is how at the same time they say nothing and try to speak to everybody.
But I don't agree that they say nothing. And I don't agree that you have to make a movie that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, like, one that just pays fan service, when, in the same way, like Lord of the Rings, like going back to Lord of the Rings, like it made over, it made billions of dollars. And it's not like they were, you had to then like be like, well, let's adjust these things. In the same way, like most, a lot of the Marvel movies, like the reason why we love them is they are well made. Like the Avengers 2012, like, and Joss Whedon, like, made it great. The Ultron, like, people have soured on it, but, like, that was great. People loved Winter Soldier. People loved Civil War. Like, all of these things, it's not, like, an either-or. And just because you're allowed to have, like, a populist movie or story or whatever, Breaking Bad, say, and I know that that's, like, American, but, like, they didn't have to, like, everyone will come to you. The same with, like, Game of Thrones and shit or whatever. It's, like, people love stories regardless of it. Like they love the story of a person exists, something bad happens, they figure out how to fix it. And then we figure out, and then we see what's changed. That's every single story. And sweet. So like that story goes,
and that's how we learn as human beings.
What do you make of the deaths? So the big deaths in the movie were Iron Man and Black Canary. Right?
Black Widow.
Black Widow.
It was, they were both stupid. Black Widow, it made more, way more sense. Hawkeye was the one should have died because he became a monster. Like he said, like he became, like the fact that he had, he didn't have to pay anything. Like there was no payment like that. He, they, this is the other thing. Like in stories, you have things happen to have consequences because that's what stories are. That's what makes drama interesting. Things happen, and then, like, because you did that, this happens, and that's it, everything. Like, that is all of this, and the fact that, like, even just, like, the fact that they weren't together, like, the Avengers weren't together, Thanos was able to get, was able, and if they were together, maybe they could have stopped Thanos. Tony states that, in the, and also, like, Hawkeye states, I'm a bad person, like, I'm a murderer now, like, I have to do this, and she's like, no, you have kids, and so she jumps off, and it's like, what the fuck, like...
She had a death wish.
Yeah, and it's like, then why did you even do that? Like, if you're going to go, like, he should have a family and stuff, we're just gonna forgive him for just becoming a bloody murderer that is just, like, cut a swath through everything, and it's like, he doesn't care about anything, but he doesn't have to pay any price for that. And that's crazy to even like include it. Like if you're not going to pay off these things, what the fuck is your point? And having just a white man with a samurai sword murder a bunch of Asian people in Asia, I feel like that's not going to be like China's like, now let's give them a lot more money. And they love Doctor Strange, and Doctor Strange made sense. And like, it's also like Tony sacrificing himself doesn't make sense because again, they gave Tony a fucking daughter and a wife. But Tony cares more about Peter Parker than he does his own daughter. She is barely in this movie. In the very beginning, they come over there and they're like, you have to help us. He's like, oh, I've moved on. And he's like the only one that's happy now. He's has a perfect life. He's on. He's got this idyllic lakefront property. He's got wonderful. Gwyneth's there. Then he's like, I can't. I have a wife. I have a kid. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Then he's just like, to Gwyneth, he's like, oh, actually, I might do that. And she's like, I know, it's fine. And then
maybe
he's like,
she's been yelling at him for years to not do it.
And then Andy has a 5-year-old daughter. And he's like, okay, good. But like, not only am I going to do it, I'm going all in. Like, I don't give a shit. I will travel back in time. I'll go across the universe. I am ready. And she's like, good. And then he just goes. He doesn't go and say, like, I'm only going to help you this much. He goes and he's like, so what are you guys doing? Time travel? Cool, let's go do it. Let's go do it. And
do you think Pepper Potts, like, secretly didn't like Iron Man? And
no, because then...
She's like, you should go get back together with these guys.
Because then Pepper Potts comes in at the big battle at the end. And it's like, do you guys both hate your daughter? Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what was the point of the daughter? Seriously, like Pepper Potts is flying
around.
She's
with a nanny. Well, the nanny is that the chauffeur,
John Favreau. Happy. Yeah. So, yes, okay, that's fine. Both her mother and father are fighting in a gigantic intergalactic war against Thanos.
Does the Gwyneth outcome make, is not that good?
And does Gwyneth really make that much difference? And I'm not saying
no one
like
cares about Gwyneth.
I understand that, but I'm saying like her strength is just sort of shooting things, and like it's not like she has like a secret weapon or whatever. So, and I'm not saying it's because, like, Gwyneth sucks or whatever, but I'm just saying, like, if you took her out, like, Does everything change? Is the
I'm
balance
surprised
gone?
They didn't have like the daughter in an Iron Man outfit showed up as like baby Iron Man.
They'll probably make a movie and it's going to be Iron Babies. What did you? Was it a gay shout out to the gay fans out there when Captain America threw the shield to Spider-Man and said, "Hey, Queens"?
Oh, yes.
I'm glad you remembered that. It's Brian's anti-gay rage of this.
Hey,
film.
Queens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I hate that they are poisoning the minds of the pure white Christian male.
You have a very strong reaction to us playfully trying to bring up the homoeroticism of these films.
Mm. No, I'm fine. And when I joke don't about believe like, it's you know, homoerotism. But
Henry Cavill being shirtless, you're like, duh. Like you are hulking out. I want Brian, I want Professor Hulk. Mm.
I have very strong opinion. Like, this isn't just Met Gala shit where I'm like, who cares? They looked fabulous. Like, I want things to mean things. Like, I like it when things mean things. And so
I
when people
too.
No,
but I also you like to see those just, things reflected in films, and to me, seeing Captain America go, "Hey, Queen," and throwing his—it's
not what he said.
He said, "Hey, Queen."
He doesn't say, "Hey, Queen,"
as best as he can without sounding
hey,
like
Queens,
Johnny
heads up.
That is probably what the all of the heterosexuals who made this film, I'm sure, including Chris Evans, the writers and the directors.
Listen, it's
they
there
all
for
said,
a reason. It's there to speak to people like me. And
it's
Mark,
there because
whatever.
When they met in Civil War, he said, "Where are you from, kid?" And he goes, "Queens," and then he goes, "Brooklyn," and then he leaves.
Yeah, of course.
That
of
was.
Course. What did you think
but
about
no,
the,
it was gay.
The? So you're arguing that moment in the film was not a double entendre.
It was when it's the exact same reason why Black Panther said to Hawkeye, "Hello, Clint," because when they were fighting in Civil War, he said, "We haven't met. I'm Clint." And Black Panther said, "I don't care." And they beat the shit out of him. That was a reference. Okay. That was a callback because, see, the Marvel movies all. They're together. I don't know if you guys know that.
Yeah.
It's not just a bunch of like guys fucking on Cody Johnson or whatever the shit you're watching.
No, okay. What? All right. I get it. Listen, we're just teasing. What? How pandering was the moment when they showed all the lady Avengers?
That was ridiculous. But it's like, all right.
It was like this aura of femininity. It was like Oprah's Wrinkle in Time.
It was the typical.
Well, the sisters are doing it for themselves,
but they weren't. Yeah. And it was the typical
with help of Tony Stark.
It was. The typical corporate feminism that says that does absolutely nothing, but it's like selling a shirt that says feminism for $40. Mm. Like it doesn't help anyone. This Disney movie isn't helping people, but like they give you that. So like as long as they throw a crumb and be like, "Look, we have a shot, and they're all together." Mm. It's but they did the exact same thing, I think, to better effect in Infinity War when Carrie Coon, one of Thanos' killers, was in the Black Order, was about to kill, I forget who she was going to kill, but she's killing one of the female superheroes, and she said, "Now you're going to die all alone," and Black Widow is behind her, and she goes, "She's not alone."
Aww.
And then Aoki, I believe her name is, from Black Panther, then steps out, and it's the woman power movement.
So they're all dead. Things have changed. A lot of these actors are coming back. What's going to happen to the MCU? We're getting a new Spider-Man movie coming out. We are going to get some more Guardians of the Galaxy with Thor in tow, right? He's going to be joining the cast of that?
As Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh. That's what he says.
Wow, baby. No, Peter Parker goes back to high school, and since he's been out of the universe.
He's out now? Finally.
For 5 years, he is now, and the Hawaiian guy that he's best friends with.
Mm-hmm. Ned.
They're both struggling to fit in because they're basically, like, been out of high school
for five years.
But so has, like, all of his gang from
not
the first movie.
Friends. Yeah, so struggling to fit in.
All of them are in Far From Home. Mm-hmm. All of them were gone in the snap, which is fine. But it is part of, like, the huge problem of what was the point of this 5 years thing? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like also it was strange that... Doctor Strange? It was strange that things like Civil War happened, and they showed that the events of Age of Ultron and the bombings in the beginning of Civil War have made people hate, and Hulk destroying the African city, I forget what it was, have made people really public sentiment on the Avengers has turned around. Mm. But
in the universe or in the actual audience?
In the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's why the Sokovia Accords is introduced in Civil War because they... So... and people don't really like the Avengers as much as they once did. There's a lot of, like, people aren't sure about these people anymore, and they're like, you guys should
too
have
much power.
Yeah, but the people that are, so then they're responsible for being part of half of the universe disappearing. So 3 point whatever million people on Earth have just disappeared.
Billion.
And they don't seem to be upset that the Avengers didn't stop this or that they helped this happen. Mm-hmm. No one's blaming them. And that is such like a weird thing. Like, what was the point then? Like, and it seems like something that should at least, they should be like graffiti or something on the Avengers like headquarters or like trash being thrown or like showing that like public sentiment, like we would like. Think about how we feel about when a president, when like gas prices go up, mm-hmm. like we're like, fuck this president. He's fucking around or is in like a bad war or does anything, like we turn quickly on people. Now imagine fucking 3 million people are just gone and nothing happened. Like there was no real reason why they did the 5 years later other than
I think it was 4 billion people.
Seven point something. So it's okay. Like 3 point whatever. But
they needed to aid Tony's kids. They needed to aid.
But that doesn't. But what was the point of that? Because it didn't stop him from doing anything.
Because he wanted to be like, now we have a family. We have a kid who's 5 years old and we interact with her.
Literally. 2 minutes later, he said yes, though.
So what's next for the Marvel Comics universe? Peter Parker goes back to high school. Guardians of the Galaxy, search for Gamora. Doctor Strange gets freaky.
And he doesn't have the Time Stone anymore, which is weird. He doesn't have the Eye of Agamotto, so that'll be interesting.
He's going to be naked.
Ooh, finally.
Black Panther's Hot Tub Party, Part 2, Wakanda gets freaky.
Yeah.
And they're rebooting.
Hot tub.
Yeah.
The T'Challa.
Living in Wakanda.
And then the X-Men and Fantastic Four are getting a reboot. So they're setting this whole thing up again for another decade of films, wrapping it up. Will this be any different this next decade than the last one?
I believe it will be because it's not going to be as new and amazing. Like it's
their virginity is gone, so now you're just like, just slide the Marvel Comics universe movies in the hole and give me a bottle of poppers.
Yeah, I mean, they made $2 billion in 5 days. Jesus. So, like, it's in, like, sold-out movie, like, crazy sold-out, like, movie theaters. The last show was 4 a.m. and the first show was 7 a.m. So, like,
that's nuts. Yeah, I can't imagine 4 or 3 o'clock
this happening again.
And James Cameron's going, remember my movie Avatar coming soon.
And Disney's saying, we own Avatar and Star Wars and Avengers. Oh, we are. And Zoe Saldana's like, fuck yeah, only I can do this.
She's doing all three of those movies.
Yeah, and she's doing, and she did Endgame. This is her.
Girl,
it's all her.
She's getting some paid.
I don't think so. She's getting paid.
Full blown paid.
Oh,
honey.
She's like Antonio Banderas in Philadelphia. I'm getting paid.
Paid so wealthy.
Ryan, the 14th season of Supernatural is now on Netflix. The 15th season is coming. It's going to be the last season ever of Supernatural.
It's not. Nope.
No, never you in denial about that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. 2012, I wrote a little story called Cocksucker Blues You Helped Me With, and I told you someday I would finish it, and today's...
Finish me.
Finish today,
what?
Today is that day, so I'm going to have you read the rough draft. Would you
Yay.
Like that?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to pass you the computer.
Oh
my God, this is
goes.
A surprise. I'm so happy.
Maybe this should just be a surprise for the people on Patreon at patreon.com/feastoffun.
Ding. Yeah, yeah. So we want to thank everybody for listening. Yeah.
So
if you want to listen to the Too Hot for Feast of Fun, Brian and Mark's slash fiction of Supernatural, go to patreon.com/feastoffun where you can listen to the story.
And we'll have the part one and the part two, which Brian's going to read now. But I'll just do a little synopsis. Last time they were hunting a incubus, which is a sex demon.
Synapses.
And so they decided that they had to get rid of all their sexual energy. So they decided to fucking suck each other. Same thing that they do every night, right? And so this is them getting back to their CD motel room. Brian?
Well, we want to thank everybody so much for listening to Feast of Fun. Remember, the Too Hot for Feast of Fun secret bonus is on Patreon, patreon.com/feastoffun. And of course, available to the people who are Plus subscribers
at feastoffun.com/plus.
Brian, where can people follow you on social media?
Just a little treat. Dean took a short break from ass eating.
Come on.
That's what it says. Dean took a short break from ass eating. That's a little taste. Just
give him the first paragraph.
No, don't do it to yourself. You're listen, this is like Endgame. You don't want spoilers.
Stuck his tongue deep. See, these are the things. Eating, caboose.
So Brian, why can people... Okay, so follow Brian's Brian dog. On butt Brian's cheeks. Song.
No, that's not... Yeah. It's the Brian Sweeney.
Okay.
Brian Sweeney.
Because you sold out, now you're part of the mainstream.
S-W-E-E-N-Y.
For those of you who don't remember, Supernatural has two brothers named the Winchester Brothers, and there's a whole genre of slash fiction called Wincest, where the brothers have sex with each other. And other people.
Bye, everybody. Check us out on patreon.com/feastoffun to listen to the incredible, hilarious, and sexy story. That's patreon.com/feastoffun.